If you're a facilities manager at a university, you know students rely on the cafeteria for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the occasional late-night snack. So when a dishwasher breaks down and dirty plates pile up, the mess hall can turn messy in the blink of an eye. Enter Grainger. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast delivery, the product you need now is never far away. So you can turn that dishwasher back into a lean, clean washing machine. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
President Trump has directed Elon Musk and the Doge team to identify fraud at the Social Security Administration. They haven't dug into the books yet, but they suspect that there are tens of millions of deceased people who are receiving fraudulent Social Security payments. And so their goal in going into the Social Security Administration is to identify three things. Number one, to identify duplicate payments and to end them. Number two, to identify payments that are going to deceased people who are no longer living and should no longer be receiving that money. And number three, to protect the integrity of this system for hardworking Americans who have been paying into it their entire life.
You know what? I am. I love this, and I want to see more of this. And I don't care how upset it is making the, I guess, I almost said deep state left, but that's kind of redundant, isn't it? I don't care how mad it makes the bureaucrats. This has to be done. I mean, some of the stuff that's come out, just again, every single day, we're like, oh, well, I guess this is a new way we're getting screwed, guys. Woo-hoo! Welcome to the show. Dana Lash with you. We are at the top of, what is today? Tuesday. Yeah. Golly, it's already Tuesday. We are top of this first hour on Tuesday. Lots of stuff. Lots and lots of stuff to touch on, because we've got the latest with Doge. We've got the IRS people flipping out. Flipping out also works. We're going to get into Europe also flipping out. Keir Starmer completely flipping out. I really feel like the left is having an existential crisis. And while I do enjoy it, the writhing and the crying of our opponents ideologically, while I do love it, I also don't want them to get crazy, because that's when they get crazy, right? So we're going to dive into all of this. So welcome, top of the first hour. So first and foremost, $4.7 trillion in treasury payments were missing a critical code that actually enabled traceability. Trust your government, they said. That's a major issue. 4.7. I couldn't spend 4.7 if I tried. I wouldn't even know how. 4.7. Doge announced yesterday that it's a little over 4.7 trillion in payments from the Treasury were missing a critical tracking code. They said it made tracing the transactions like virtually impossible. They said that it was missing what is called a TAS identification code. That stands for Treasury Account Symbol. That links the Treasury payments to a budget line item per Doge, which described the use of such code. That's like a standard operating procedure. That's a standard financial process. And they said that that field was optional. You know, so they in the federal government, the TAS field was optional. Why is that TAS, TSA, nothing's ever good. It made it pretty much impossible for them to track it, to track where the payments were going, which is absolutely inexcusable. I think you would agree. So now because they're looking at curbing waste, fraud, and abuse, they said that they're restoring that code to all of the other payments. So that's going to improve the payment integrity. And they've been given the access to get into their highly sensitive payment systems. Again, these are read-only access. It's all read-only access. And they said that one of the things that they wanted, they were making suggestions to how to run a tighter ship, essentially, at the Treasury. And did you know that in 2023, $25 billion in tax refunds were delayed or lost because of returned or expired checks? So now they're thinking of, why are we doing paper checks? It's actually a really good point. I mean, almost everybody's digital, right? I don't know. That's a very good point. But that's some of the latest that they have uncovered. I mean, I don't know. I mean, hell, who knows what else we're going to find later today. I mean, good grief. This is one thing after another. I don't know how much more of our money we can afford to just not have track of, right? How much more? Now, we've got this, and there's several things that I wanted to get into, and we're going to talk about each of these things more in depth, but I want to let you know this is what we got on the table coming up for this first hour. So, in addition to all the latest Doge discoveries, Israel is bracing itself because Hamas made a pretty ghoulish announcement this morning that it's the Bibas family. You might remember them. That's the little redheaded kids, the little redheaded baby and the redheaded toddler. The baby was 8 months old when he was 8 months old when he was kidnapped with his brother and mother by Hamas. They were taken by armed men. Now, their father was released last month. And originally, Hamas said that the wife and children were dead and that it was because of an Israeli bomb, which then they turned around and they didn't have their story straight on that. But now they're saying that we'll return the bodies this week is what they had said, or we're going to return the bodies as part of some deal. But only Hamas is stating this. Israel hasn't confirmed it. Those kids kind of became the face of the hostages that were taken. The baby was the youngest. The baby spent more of his life in Hamas's captivity than he did free with his parents and family and loved ones. So they have this like drip, drip, drip approach, Hamas, with these hostages. So they said that they had living hostages who were part of phase one are expected to be home by Saturday. And they said six of the hostages expected are two Israeli men who were held hostage for over a decade. And they said that the Bibas family has not, it's been a very big concern because, you know, the baby's so little. And the mother, she was on video holding her two boys when she was being kidnapped. Israel has not confirmed it yet. But Hamas is going, this isn't the first time Hamas has said that there are hostages that are deceased. And then it turns out they weren't. So because they can never be honest about anything, you don't know until really, you know, either they have the bodies or they deliver the family. And so that's just some caution with that stuff. And even Israel, like I said, has not confirmed that family is deceased. And I think, Hamas has been using them as a leverage tool. I just don't know how it serves them had they killed them. Well, they are stupid, though, you know, Hamas. So I because they had used them up until like for quite a while as like a point of leverage. So we're going to follow that. Also, pull this up. This insane crash in Toronto that's now being used as a political tool because you had a plane crash in Toronto. There were no fatalities, thankfully. Everybody on board is okay. I think there were some mild injuries, 76 passengers, 4 crew members. It took off from Minneapolis for a regular flight. But then it ended up crashing and kind of flipping upside down. And it's caught on video in Toronto. Juan's showing you one of the videos on the simulcast that you can watch either on Rumble or X, Channel 347 DirecTV. The video of this Delta crash. Just wild, the video that exists. Just wild. I mean, it's just frozen and it lands and just crash landing, rolls over and lands upside down. And this is a regular flight too, from what I understand. The Minneapolis to Toronto is a pretty regular flight. And even though it originates, the origin is in Minneapolis, the destination being in Toronto. The moment it gets in Canadian airspace, as I understand it, then it's under control of Canadian air traffic control, and it becomes part of Canadian authority, air authority, as I understand it. So it's a pretty common flight, and I know that they're still investigating it. I think they are supposed to have a press conference giving more information about it, but it is immediately being weaponized. And you had Poot Booty Juice, who was asking this on X, Like, what was wrong with, he was asking about what's wrong with FAA and the landing and all this stuff. Like, he was trying to get a dig in at Sean Duffy, the new transportation secretary. Nobody told Poot that that's it. It then once it crosses into Canadian airspace, that's under Canada's air authority. What is he talking? Is that why he sucked at his job so bad? Because he didn't really know what his authority was.
That's part of it.
Good grief. We don't have the brightest bulbs. Really, we did not. We did not have any genuine, like genuinely good people that were actually running things. So he was, and the way that the argument has gone, they really, like I said, try to politicize this to the nth degree. And they've been trying to blame Trump. And we're gonna dive into this. In fact, 18, Adios Not Bad 18, we can play this now. This is NBC already trying to blame POTUS. Listen.
I did want to, underscore to pick up on the conversation you were just having, though, in terms of the recent string of aviation incidents, Tom. This is going to yet again raise the concern about FAA staffing, air traffic control staffing. Now, this is a Canadian air traffic control tower, and this is under Canadian authority once it crosses the border. And yet, as you know, there has been this talk about maybe staff cuts at the FAA as a
what
part
does that
of
have to
President
do with
Trump's
going over to camp. What is that even? Stop these people. We're going to talk more about this here. We're also going to get into just letting you know what else we have on deck for today. The latest with Europe. Keir Starmer is saying that they were demanding essentially the United States back them up militarily as it pertains to Ukraine. Yeah, I don't think so. We're going to dive into that. We're also going to get into the GOP fight to come, not with Democrats, but with themselves, because that budget resolution, oh, there's already some division in the Senate and the House. Oh, boy. Ain't nobody got time for that. We're literally that meme now. Nobody has time for it. We're going to dive into that. We're going to get into all of the latest with that. We're also going to talk about the reaction. Well, let me put it like this. The characterization of the reaction of some on the right to that Tom Hanks thing on SNL. The left is accusing the right of being too sensitive. The people who got upset over butter are accusing the right of being too sensitive. Let me phrase that differently. The people who got upset over pancake syrup are accusing the right of being sensitive. We've got that. And then flashback with the IRS. IRS employees are riotous and they're upset and they're livid over Doge. Were they livid over the Lois Lerner scandal, though? Let's take a trip down memory lane on that. Achieving vibrant, youthful skin doesn't have to be complicated. With the power of Native Path Collagen, you can nourish your body from within and enhance not just your skin, but also your hair, your nails. By incorporating Native Path Collagen into your daily routine, you can promote a plump, radiant complexion, reduce signs of aging, and boost your overall vitality, all without any unnecessary fillers or additives. Native Path Collagen has only type 1 and 3 collagen, the most important types, making up 90% of your body's collagen. No artificial sweeteners, just pure third-party tested goodness. It's completely flavorless, so you can just add it to about anything, your coffee, your smoothies, oatmeal, or whatever you want. And the best part is that Native Path's peptides formula makes it more bioavailable, so it means your body will absorb it easily. Start your journey to healthier skin today. Get nativepath.com/Dana and stock up on Native Path Collagen and save up to an incredible 45% off plus free shipping. Every order includes a 365-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out. Head to getnativepath.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I told Kane that I feel like I'm dressed like Sprockets from SNL right now. Sprockets. Only like 5 of you are going to remember that. That's okay. The guy who founded Panera Bread, everywhere outside of St. Louis is called Panera. But in St. Louis, Kane, what's it called?
St. Louis Bread.
That's right. Ken Rosenthal's passed away at age 81. Thank you, sir, for your chicken noodle soup and your tomato soups and your cinnamon bagels. We are grateful. And thank you because as a young mother, I was sustained by your fraps. Thank you so much. So in addition to that, I had to get that. I just saw that like as we were going to break or coming back from break. This 11 fatalities as the U.S., entire U.S. is bracing for this Arctic outbreak and coldest temps yet. three of you out there in Radio Land have emailed me and are like, Dana, what is up with the nonstop turtlenecks? Like, I don't know why that's a thing, but it's because of this. The Arctic temperatures. If it gets below 50, y'all, Dana's in sweaters and turtlenecks. I will just keep buying black turtlenecks. I don't care. I'm like, you know, a new Steve Jobs. So this, the latest outbreak here, well, it says 11. Now they've updated it to 15 because cars were found frozen and, crazy. It's a week-long Arctic outbreak. And so it's bringing, you know, that nice North Pole weather all the way down. And it's lots of snow, lots of ice, lots of super cold weather. So they said a 20-minute dance a day will, what is this? It's from the Telegraph, so take with it what you will. They said dancing in your kitchen like a stooge for 20 minutes a day is enough to help you hit your exercise targets. This is what the Brits are telling. It's just called exercise, you know, or like a brisk walk. Like, do we not know that this, really? Do people not know this?
It's new science.
This story, I look at this story and my first thought, I kid you not, was free pet. This is in Connecticut. About 40 miles away from the sea, they found a young gray seal, a baby seal, a seal pup, as it were. And they found Animal Rescue Clinic in Mystic Aquarium. They came in to help. They said, New Haven police said they don't usually get calls like this. It's about a 5 or 6 week old seal pup found in the middle of the street. They had to keep him safe until the aquarium people arrived. So he's safe now. Bless his baby heart. Love him. Stick with us as we move. Our partners that help bring you the program. It's the non-firearm firearm, the burner gun. I always tell people, and I will always carry. I have zero problem carrying. I have zero problem pumping a bad guy full of lead to save my life or the life of a loved one. That's not my fault. That's a consequence of you trying to do something criminal to an innocent person, is that innocent person may carry and you may catch the lead end of that stick. So burner gun is a great way to diversify your weapons collection, for the lack of a better way to put it. Now, I have friends who live in D.C. and New York, and they're not always allowed to carry anywhere despite whatever licenses they have or whatever. And one of my friends is a female, and she has to work long hours. She has to be big kids. This is where she works, and she's got to live there. And she doesn't want to go out to her car and become a statistic. So she got a Byrna SD. That's their most popular model. When you compare it to regular stun guns, those have one or two shots. The Byrna SD has 5 rounds. It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can stop threats from up to 50 feet away. So this is what a lot of my friends who live in these unfortunate areas have used to make sure they're still protected, because Byrna Gun doesn't care about gun-free zone signs, no waiting period, no background check, and it's legal in all 50 states. Visit Byrna.com/Dana, and that's where you can get 10% off your purchase. BYRNA, it's the Byrna Gun, Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On Ukraine, we're at the very early stage of the process. Europe must play its role. And I'm prepared to consider committing British forces on the ground alongside others if there is a lasting peace agreement. But there must be a US backstop, because a US security guarantee is the only way to effectively deter Russia from attacking Ukraine again. So I will go to Washington next week to meet President Trump and to discuss what we see as the key elements of a lasting peace.
So that's Keir Starmer, the British Prime Minister, who is demanding, and I tweeted this yesterday, that he, and that's how it's being characterized too by, I think, most everyone, that he's demanding that the United States basically provide the backbone or provide the heft to what he's claiming. He says that, although consider British troops if a peace deal is agreed upon, but the U.S. has to provide a backstop. Well, what does that even mean? What is that? That means they have to commit, essentially, the U.S. would have to commit to boots on the ground. That's the way I'm reading it. A security guarantee. This was in Paris. They had an emergency summit with European leaders, and the prime minister said the U.S. backstop was the only way to effectively deter Russia from attacking Ukraine again. It's not our problem. Maybe Europe needs to grow TF up and take care of its own backyard. It's not our problem. He says it's an existential question for Europe as a whole and vital for our national interests. Okay, your national interests aren't necessarily our national interests. And there is such a thing as making sure that your allies are healthy, because healthy alliances go a long way in preserving your own nation's national security. But this is not that. That is not that. He said that this backstop, he goes, Europe must play its role, but we have to see this key element. He says, I'm prepared to commit British forces on the ground. I actually do think if anything like that were to happen, and which I don't think Trump would, because Trump has been, I think, the only president that hasn't wanted to get us involved in every single international entanglement under God's green earth. But that said, even if, say it was somebody else, I mean, that is when absolutely it is beyond appropriate for conservatives to riot. I think there's no way that you will convince, and I think Starmer has to know this, you're never going to convince the American populace to commit its blood and treasure for Ukraine. Are you kidding me? That is one of the daftest, dumbest, most European navel-gazing centric things I've ever heard in my life. Take care of your own backyard. I get so tired of all of these other countries acting as though the United States is just some swashbuckling braggart. And they, when they're not running us down, they're demanding that we basically cash the checks that their mouths write. And that's not how it's going to go. So I don't think that Keir Starmer is going to find a sympathetic audience no matter what he says to POTUS. And I would hope that POTUS doesn't have anyone surrounding him that would even allow for such a, I don't think POTUS would have a slip in judgment, but I don't think anyone around would advise him to such. I mean, who are you to demand anything of the United States? I think we've already done way too much. I mean, you don't, demanding boots on the ground from another nation is a great way to just kick off a way broader conflict. A great way to kick it off. Good grief. I mean, the only reason they have to have U.S. military support to make it seem like they have more people serving in their military. This is just, contemptible and non-workable. I don't think that'll go over well for them. Not at all. Now, a few other things to touch on. We were talking about this FAA stuff as well. And I'm looking at this. The way that, I mean, this, the plane crash was insane. Thankfully, there were no fatalities. But everyone immediately, whether it's been CNN or, I mean, name a network, they've all been acting as though, well, this is because of Trump. I don't even think, you have to keep in mind, Doge recommends cuts. Okay, so Doge recommends the cuts. They're the ones who, they're like, okay, well, this is something that we need to, this is a cut we can make. This is a department we can trim. This is a budget that we can trim. But they actually, and Kane, correct me if I'm wrong on this, they haven't actually, I don't think, acted upon those cuts immediately yet. No. These are just recommendations.
Yeah, it's just like a search journey.
Okay, so why are they saying that the recommendations are responsible for reduced staff? You know, FAA already had problems with that before the election. I mean, people are well aware of this, right? They already had major issues with staffing before the election. This predates the election. So they are claiming that merely auditing and suggesting what to trim made this plane fall out of the sky and crash. These people are so scientific. And they've been trying to find something on which to blame Trump. That's ultimately. And CNN, they were going back and forth over this. And I think this, you're going to hear more and more about this. I, It makes me wonder what, and this is not a question that anybody in the media has asked, what the hell did Pete Buttigieg do? And yes, I'm saying his name the way that the progressive's God, Joe Biden, said it. So bite me. But what did that dude do as transport secretary? What did he do? If we're having all of these problems, I mean, I thought, you know, he was the gay, you know, the gay savior, DEI hire, going to come and help everybody's transportation. And he didn't really do anything. I think he was on maternity leave the whole time, you know, because he had a baby. Babies. He carried twins and birthed them. Kane, you know.
Tough work.
What did he do if they're having all these problems? If you're still having, I mean, they had staffing shortages. The staffing shortages actually predated Trump's first term, predated Buttigieg. And then he didn't change it because it's still continuing. So what did he actually do there? I personally think that if you can't define what the government job is, then it shouldn't exist. It should not exist. If the average everyday person cannot say, oh, I know what that guy does and here's what it is, then why does it exist? I don't think that dude, he didn't do a thing. He didn't do a damn thing. But they're having all of these issues. And as I said, they've existed for quite a while. And I don't know how that's Trump's fault right now. I mean, the Associated Press has been making up stuff. They said, oh, FAA, they're cutting staff. They said that they cut staff over the weekend. It included personnel that worked radar, etc. They were doing all of this stuff. They said that this was the AP. The AP was claiming that an employee said they were harassed on Facebook by Doge. Doge doesn't even have a Facebook page. They're literally just making things up. This Associated Press reporter, Tara Kopp, is literally making up stories about Doge being on Facebook harassing people. I don't know. And it just, they're just trying to find something to rage about. They did not release from employment a single air traffic controller, nor was anyone who is involved in any kind of safety function within the FAA terminated. Not a single one. Anybody who is employed with the FAA, who are in those two professions, whether it's air traffic controller or any kind of safety function, those were not the people who were terminated or recommended for termination by Doge. So you had the Associated Press that ran this whole story. They talked to this employee, who I'm sure doesn't have an axe to grind, Kane. And it seems like they specifically got this guy because he had gone off previously on Tesla. This dude said that he was targeted by Doge on Twitter. This is what the Associated Press said, quote, on his personal Facebook account, he urged friends to get rid of their Teslas and X. That post drew the attention of a Doge Facebook account. And they said that the official, this is literally what they cited, the AP cited, quote, the official Doge Facebook page, this is per the guy who claimed falsely that he was harassed. And so the AP just takes it as gospel truth. They write, quote, the official Doge Facebook page started harassing me on my personal Facebook account after I criticized Tesla and Twitter. And then less than a week later, I was fired. Okay, there's literally no Doge on Facebook. Now, there's probably like parodies, but there's no official Doge on Facebook. You know, you can go on Facebook and you can set up a page and literally call it Doge. They're not stalking basic B FAA employees. They're just not. I like what Secretary Sean Duffy said, and I highlighted this last night. He said, quote, Mayor Pete failed for 4 years to address the air traffic controller shortage. And he said to upgrade our outdated World War II era air traffic control system. He adds, in less than 4 weeks, we've already begun the process. and we're engaging the smartest. He said, we're engaging the smartest minds in the world. It is wild that they're just, wild, but not unexpected, that they're completely lying about this stuff. And I love what Secretary Duffy said, too. He said, he noted that the FAA alone has 45,000 employees. He said fewer than 400 were let go. And all of the people who were just let go had been, they were hired less than a year ago. And so they were all probationary. So no air traffic controllers were let go. No critical safety personnel were let go. And he added, quote, Mayor Pete chose to use this amazing department that is so critical to America's success as a slush fund for the Green New Scam and environmental justice nonsense. Not to mention over 90% of the workforce under Buttigieg's leadership were working from home, including him. Duffy noted that the building was empty. And then he adds this, quote, when we finally get a full accounting of his mismanagement, I look forward to hearing from him. That's perhaps one of my favorite lines this month. So they lied. The AP lied. They outright lied. There was no Doge Facebook page. They made up a story as a way to try to hammer on Musk and go after POTUS. That's all it was. All Family Pharmacy provides the prescriptions you need, and they have a doctor that signs off on the prescriptions. They can send everything out in, like, what, 2 to 4 days, overnight, too. They can overnight it if you really need it. But they have customizable orders. They have emergency kits tailored to your needs, and they support your medical independence. So I use them, like, for instance, over Thanksgiving, I was getting serious sinusitis, and it was turning into strep. And I'm like, I am hosting Thanksgiving. This is insane. And I immediately was on allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. First time I did use code Dana10, and I got my 10% discount off my entire order. But you can get, you know, they have tons of different medications. They even have ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine as well, tons of antibiotics, over 200 other essential medications. And I ordered what I needed, like amoxicillin, azithromycin. And, you know, again, medical professionals, doctors are like, this is, you know, how you take it. This is the, you know, the dosage, etc. But it's simple, fast, and affordable. No insurance, no problem. The pricing's straightforward. And it's all from the USA. None of this stuff is input from China. It's not outsourced. It's made in the USA, so you can rest easy. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana for 10% off using promo code Dana. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana, promo code Dana10. That gets you 10% off. Don't wait. Put your order in today.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Absolutely, Amanda. I feel like we could still have a conversation. However, I would like to be a part of that conversation. That's amazing. I am willing to sit down with the IOC, the USATF, the NCAA, with any of my international federations, even the Trump administration, Trump himself, if he wants to sit down with me and talk and have a human conversation and see me, because I feel as though social media is very loud, and to have a human sit across from you and have a conversation with them, it's very different. So I'm willing to have that conversation if they're willing to give me that chance.
That what chance? So this is a guy who's mad because he wants to be able to compete in women's sports and treat the women's league like a JV league. Yep. That's it. I don't care what acrylic nails you get or how much highlighter you put on your nose. You have a penis. Okay? You're a dude. All right? You got a Frankenbeans. That's just simple scientific anatomy and physiology. You ain't no woman, you a dude. So you can't compete in ladies' sports. If you're not good enough to compete at the Olympic level in men's sports, then newsflash, maybe it's not the world that's being mean to you. Maybe you just suck out loud at that sport and maybe should do something else. There's like a million other things that this dude could choose to do. But instead, He will pretend to be a woman and then try to shame everyone and bully them into modifying. They don't get free speech because they have to accommodate his fantasy cosplay. It's abusive, it's anti-woman, and it is ideologically Marxist. Stop it. You're a dude, sir. It's a man.
Hideous.
Well, she's a guy, so.
That's right. Well, she's a guy, so that's it. I just can't believe we're still doing this. Like, I don't want to get involved in people's personal lives because, and I will be honest with you, I know I should probably care about my fellow man more, but I don't. I just don't want to get, I mean, not to the extent where I want to be involved in everyone's lives, you know, like live your life and then don't boss me around and don't try to take my money and my guns. And I'm pretty peaceable at, you know, at that point. But anything beyond that, and I go into like rage honey badger mode. And I just get really mad and obsessed about being mad at you. So don't. Why are you? You laughed at that last part. Look at you. Yeah. Like, just stop trying to hijack our speech and just go play in your own league. Why can't dudes who want to be women do a dudes who want to be women sports league? Yeah. Do that. Right? I mean, that's the whole reason why women created women's sports in the first place. You know, just a thought. All right, so coming up, Germany is mad at Britain because Keir Starmer demands boots on the ground so that he can make himself look more hardcore in Ukraine. So we're going to discuss that. We got a whole bunch of domestic stuff to touch on. Don't go anywhere. Second hour next. Achieving vibrant, youthful skin doesn't have to be complicated. With the power of Native Path Collagen, you can nourish your body from within and enhance not just your skin, but also your hair, your nails. By incorporating Native Path Collagen into your daily routine, you can promote a plump, radiant complexion, reduce signs of aging, and boost your overall vitality, all without any unnecessary fillers or additives. Native Path Collagen has only type 1 and 3 collagen, the most important types, making up 90% of your body's collagen. No artificial sweeteners, just pure third-party tested goodness. It's completely flavorless, so you can just add it to about anything, your coffee, your smoothies, oatmeal, or whatever you want. And the best part is that Native Path's peptides formula makes it more bioavailable, so it means your body will absorb it easily. Start your journey to healthier skin today. Get nativepath.com/Dana and stock up on Native Path Collagen and save up to an incredible 45% off plus free shipping. Every order includes a 365-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out. Head to getnativepath.com/Dana.
San Diego has closed an office that was opened up to receive illegals. What's that tell us?
It tells us the border is more secure than it's ever been. We're going to have additional facilities built to detain for removal, not to hold to release. Detain for removal. That is what the Trump administration is doing. That's what the promise that President Trump made to American people. We're concentrating on the export program. We're not going to be, catch and release is over. So those facilities that were at great taxpayer expense to welcome people, fly them to the city of their choice, give them a free hotel room at taxpayer expense, 3 meals a day, free medical attention, those days are over. We're going to detain, we end catch and release, and we're going to hold people to remove, not to release.
Get it. That's Tom Homan, who... I love that he's just so matter of fact, and he's like America's uncle, right? Or America's grandpa, Tom Homan. Like, he's the no nonsense. Everybody had like one of those no nonsense dudes in their family, and that's Tom Homan. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of this second hour. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff to hit here. Where to start? Because we were discussing just last hour some of the stuff. Some of the goofy stuff with the left and the FAA and the plane that crashed, no fatalities in Toronto. And then we were looking at the situation with immigration and this with, I wanted to play this too. So to Tom Homan's point, this is, which one was this? Audio soundbite 14. This is a guy being detained by ICE. And ICE is asking, they're not, if they're U.S. citizens. This is just what they're dealing with. Listen.
I'm a United States citizen, just to clarify. Born and raised El Paso, Texas.
So, as it turns out, one of the stories, apparently not everybody there was. And that's why ICE was responding, because, you know, you have detainers put out and et cetera, et cetera. They're dealing with this stuff, you know, day in and day out. And I feel for ICE agents. I feel like maybe they're going to get a little bit more backup now, don't you think? They're gonna have a little bit more backup. They're going to have a little bit more support with some of this stuff. It's infuriating to see this. I wanted to, making sure I'm touching everything here that I want to get to. I wanted to, we were hitting up on Doge last hour. And with respect to the IRS, because Doge reportedly went into the IRS and they're going to be recommending cuts, which I really feel like a lot of people on the left don't understand how this whole process is working out. They are seeking access to, they want to get taxpayer data to see what the IRS is doing. And the IRS is acting like they're the ones who are looking out for you. The IRS is going, oh my goodness, can you believe that they're trying to get data from us? It's probably your personal sensitive data. You mean the personal sensitive data that the IRS uses when they target conservatives? I mean, they are auditing SecDef. They hurriedly sent that out. And they're auditing SecDef, which is no coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences. Do you, Kane? Especially with the IRS and this? I don't. This is what Democrats are famous for. Go back and look at when Bill Clinton was president. All of the way that they weaponized the IRS, it was crazy. So the IRS, it's been recommended that they lay off thousands of probationary workers. And everyone's saying, it's in the middle of tax season. And the IRS is now trying to scare everybody by saying, well, that just means that your refund is just maybe not, it's not going to get to you anytime soon. That's our money still. That's ridiculous. So they're laying off thousands of these probationary workers, according to numerous sources. This is after Doge recommended a number of cuts because they just said that the money that they're wasting is unsustainable. They said that the IRS employees involved in 2025 tax season were told they will not be allowed to accept one of those buyout offers from the Trump administration until after the taxpayer filing deadline. Nobody knows exactly how many workers are going to be impacted by this. It's not a known thing, but they're all up in arms. Like, how dare you do this to the precious baby IRS workers? I don't know. That's how they're making it sound like. Here's my problem. Why were these people so, I mean, am I supposed to feel bad that these people are getting laid off? I mean, hell, they hired 88,000 of them for heaven knows what. Am I supposed to feel bad that they're getting laid off? Because I don't. You know why? Because none of these people, except for a couple of whistleblowers, and we love the actual whistleblowers, but more of them were quiet than not over the whole thing with Lois Lerner. Do you guys remember the Lois Lerner saga? How many of you remember that? So this wasn't that long ago. Lois Lerner, this was after, this was during, towards the Tea Party days, right? She was caught colluding with the DOJ and FBI and going after conservative groups. And I personally know, like, I've met them and I've talked with them. A number of these group leaders, it was a lot of Tea Party groups and a lot of pro-life groups that were targeted specifically by Lois Lerner. It was like she was trying to make conservatives go to jail. I don't really know how else to put this whole thing. So this, it started back, this was like back in, I think all of this kind of kicked off in 2009, but it didn't come to light until a couple of years after that. There were, a town hall wrote a lot about this, Red State, there, and these are emails from her. She was sending these emails to IRS staff about congressional hearings and all of this stuff. She sent one. This was when they were calling her up to testify about her behavior. And she was saying that Tea Party groups that were C4s were pushing tax fraud and that they basically, she was hoping that they were going to get what was coming to them. I mean, long story short. And you remember when she did go before Congress, she was aloof to the point of arrogance, and she was super, super snotty. What was his name? Peter Strzok. She was at that. Do you remember that? There were memes that were, before memes became a big thing, there were memes created on about her and her behavior. But she was going after these Tea Party groups, and she was trying to prevent them from getting, according to all the reporting during the scandal, she was really an obstacle for them to get their tax classification as it relates to like C3s and C4s and all of this stuff. So you have 501c3 and 501c4s. And they're structured a little bit differently, and they have different things that they have to do. And she was trying to prevent these groups from getting these tax exempt classifications, which meant that they could not actually. I think it's unconstitutional in the first place that you even have to get structured like this. I think that money is speech, and I think that all of these things are absolutely unconstitutional Marxist abridgments of your free speech. And that being said, if these groups did not have that classification, it really severely limited what they were able to do. There were Tea Party groups that were trying to raise funds so that they could do phone canvassing, going door to door, do phone banking, door to door canvassing, things like that, because they were trying to recruit candidates for Republican primaries to run the RINOs out of their elected seats. They were also fighting the Obama takeover of healthcare in their state. I was in Virginia for a number of things on that. They were really being hindered from really starting up. Lorraine even noted that her Tea Party was the Hampton Roads Tea Party. I know the Richmond Tea Party was targeted. Lorraine says that her particular group, the Hampton Roads Tea Party in Virginia, was also one of the groups that Lerner targeted. And there are emails of this. Like they openly discussed it because they felt so completely protected by the Obama, Biden, Holder, Jared administration. Nothing was going to happen to them. Well, then it came out. And there was so much. If you, you're going to get it in the, you'll get the whole timeline of everything for that. But for the people who were wondering about, well, why did they have to get these, you know, let me explain why they had to get tax exemption. So I co-founded the St. Louis Tea Party and also co-founded the National Movement at the time. This was in, you know, early 2009. One of the things, like, for instance, when we downtown in St. Louis, there's a downtown park square area called Keener Plaza. You remember this game. Occupy Wall Street, they let them park there for 3 weeks. They trashed the place. Apparently there was like drug use. They just were nasty, loud. They didn't get permits. When we had a tea party in Keener Plaza, the city told us that they were threatening us, like under penalty of like fines or even potentially arrest, that you had to get a license. You had to go and get your permit to have your protest there. And then they demanded we had to have our stuff insured, and they demanded that we provide porta potties. That stuff isn't cheap to do all of that stuff. And a lot of the insurance is like thousands and thousands of dollars. This is what a lot of these local cities and municipalities were doing to a lot of these Tea Party groups. And then they would try to fine them, ticket them, cite them, you know, et cetera. They really were making it to where they could not freely assemble. Our rights were absolutely abridged. So we're like, well, what do we do? Like, do we just go ahead and do it anyway and risk arrest? Because, you know, absolutely they would do that if you were a conservative. But Occupy Wall Street, it didn't matter. I mean, hell, up in New York, there were reports of them. I mean, reports, they were literally women filing charges. They were raping women in the tents at the Occupy Wall Street, like up in Manhattan. So it was a very real concern. Nobody wanted to, and that's the difference between the right and the left. Like, the right wants to be a good citizen, and the left is like, you know, F it, they don't care. So we had to do all of this stuff, and it's not cheap. And these groups, they had to come together and they had to raise money, whether it was like for canvassing, you know, etc., all of that stuff. And they have to have that tax exempt status to do it, that C3 or C4 designation. And this is where the IRS was preventing them. They were stalling them out for like years to get this done. Stalling them out. I think Richmond was like 18 months. That's insane. You guys know that's insane. I think it was 18 to 24 months. I can't remember. A lot of these groups, it took them a long time to do it. And I remember the insurance policy that we had to get, I think it varies, state by state, but ours was like $100,000 or something like that. It was crazy. And that was just for like an afternoon in Keener Plaza. I mean, it was so stupid. And you know, Occupy Wall Street and the left didn't have to do any of that. So this is what I'm talking about when I say that the IRS was trying to prevent people from freely assembling and exercising free speech and doing all of this stuff with this. Now, you remember that Lois Lerner and the IRS had to settle with a number of groups because they were undeniably guilty. There was no defending the stuff that they were doing. There was no defending it. And they were targeting hundreds upon hundreds of conservative groups. Not only that, she wouldn't apologize for it. She was basically like a lobbyist to try to help foment these hurdles to catch these groups in some kind of criminality because they didn't get the status or whatever approved. It's insane. So she ended up, she was caught providing illegal taxpayer data. So you want to have a discussion about data? Why did she take the fifth? Why did she plead the fifth if she was completely innocent? Right? I mean, she did. She pled the fifth. So House Oversight and outside groups discovered that they were actually they were illegally accessing or providing illegal data they should not be accessing as a part of their open department witch hunt for conservatives. Not one single damn time did any of these people at the IRS voice any kind of concern except for a couple of whistleblowers. Now the whole damn department is up in arms because DOGE is recommending cuts. Go do something unflattering to your own face. We've got a lot more to get to. History shows gold and silver thrive under strong leadership. During President Trump's first term, gold surged 53% and silver soared 51%. With him back, could precious metals break new records in 2025 and beyond? In times of economic uncertainty, smart investors turn to assets that have proven their worth. Gold and silver have historically outperformed in volatile markets, making them a crucial part of any strategy for preserving and growing wealth. And that's why I trust the partners at GoldCo. Secure your financial future today and don't wait until the next economic crisis happens. GoldCo is a trusted leader in precious metals, and with over $3 billion in gold and silver secured for hardworking Americans, they've been a top-rated company from the start. Take action and partner with a company that puts your security first. Visit DanaLikesGold.com right now and get a free copy of their 2025 gold and silver kit. On top of that, you could also qualify for up to $15,000 in bonus silver, possibly even more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so I was looking up a story that I'm going to share with you after the break. This first bit, a chilling new telescope pick. Yes! 30,000 mile per hour city killer asteroid that has a 1 in 48 chance. Please get us, Smod! Yay! Because it's this lonely rock is done. I think we've done our best, guys. Anyway, they found a picture of it, or they got a picture of it, and it looks like a white smear on some black. That's it. But they said it's asteroid 2024 YR4. It can be made out as the bright white smudge in the telescope photo. And it's very, very far away. There's a 1 in 48 chance of it striking the Earth. It was about 37 million miles from Earth when it was first pictured. And so they said they had to use their big telescope to pick it up because it's super far away. But 1 in 48, so you're telling me there's a chance. CDC disease detectors, among hundreds recommended for firing as Trump ramps up agency cuts. Really? Because they did such a great job with the Wu flu and like literally everything else, really. We're going to talk about Lucy Eggs coming up. I feel like this is the thing I can support, but there's going to be another Eric Garner situation. Stick with us. All Family Pharmacy provides the prescriptions you need, and they have a doctor that signs off on the prescriptions. They can send everything out in like, 2 to 4 days, overnight too. They can overnight it if you really need it. But they have customizable orders. They have emergency kits tailored to your needs, and they support your medical independence. So I use them, like, for instance, over Thanksgiving, I was getting serious sinusitis and it was turning into strep. And I'm like, I am hosting Thanksgiving. This is insane. And I immediately was on allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. First time I did use code Dana10 and I got my 10% discount off my entire order. But you can get, you know, they have tons of different medications. They even have ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine as well, tons of antibiotics, over 200 other essential medications. And I ordered what I needed, like amoxicillin, azithromycin. And, you know, the again, medical professionals, doctors are like, this is, you know, how you take it. This is the, you know, the dosage, etc. But it's simple, fast, and affordable. No insurance, no problem. The pricing's straightforward. And it's all from the USA. None of this stuff is input from China. It's not outsourced. It's made in the USA, so you can rest easy. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana for 10% off using promo code Dana. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana, promo code Dana10. That gets you 10% off. Don't wait. Put your order in today.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Donald Trump is a narcissistic sociopath, and in the space of a month, he has sent the United States hurtling towards not just authoritarianism, but dictatorship. I do not use those words lightly. If you look at the array of things, Katie, that has happened in recent times, they were almost unthinkable. We always thought about the United States, whether it swung Republican or Democrat, as a place where pluralism would win out, where there were checks and balances. There are none left. The Republican Party has become a cult. It has mutated from a political party into a cult. And this is a moment of extreme danger for the United States, for Europe, needless to say, for Ukraine. In fact, I would say, in European terms, it is the most perilous moment we have had since the 1930s.
I just would like to kick him in his lucky charms. That's what I would like. That's John O'Brien. What does John O'Brien do besides act like a meat sack and take up a lot of space here in this real world? I don't know. That's a great question. Welcome back to the program. Ooh, my name is Dana Loesch. I have Irish ancestry, so I can say all that stuff. This guy is clearly a leftist. He's he's a professor. Of course he is. I mean, in BS, I'm not quite sure. He's upset because he says that Trump is a sociopath and we're going on a dictatorship. You're in Ireland. Have you seen what your government has done lately? Have you seen? Oh my gosh. Just saying. Okay. Go look and just see some of what their government has done lately. Just go look and see. I mean, he is one of those guys that everybody he doesn't like is Hitler. Everyone he doesn't like is a statist. And the irony of ironies is, I mean, he's kind of that. He's kind of the very thing that he criticizes, you know? Good heavens. And I think, isn't he in an area where, because I think he's part of, he's part of the Republic of Ireland, which is very different from Northern Ireland. Very different in terms of, you know, government structure and relationship with the UK and all that stuff. Trump's golf course, I think, is in county that this guy, if I'm remembering correctly, that this John O'Brien criticized, because when Trump went there and had like a meeting and played golf and all of that stuff, that was like a, you know, it was like they had a lot of PR there. And I think he like went after the community for having a Trump golf course there. And I don't think that won him a lot of fans in County Clare, just saying. But I mean, based on what? Just because you dislike someone's policies does not mean that they are a fascist. It does not mean that they're a sociopath. It doesn't mean that they're a narcissist. And I'm trying to figure out how the U.S. is hurtling towards a dictatorship when you literally come from a country that, I mean, they've had protests in the streets. Go and look at your immigration policies and the speech, the lack of free speech that you have. I mean, it's such a beautiful country. I hate seeing beautiful countries with amazing histories just absolutely defecated upon by poor leadership. Like in Germany, right? So I'm trying to figure out how quickly Europe is, you want to talk about hurtling out of control. Let's have a discussion about Europe, because Europe right now, especially with Ukraine, I guess everyone thinks that they have a right to the United, like our resources. And I don't know, like you had Keir Starmer, we played his audio earlier, where he was demanding boots on the ground. Like he had said, Europe, he said, Europe has to step up, but well, we have to have the backbone. We have to have a, it has to be guaranteed by the United States. I wanted to, if we can just play that part. This is, sorry, audio soundbite 11,000, 5 million, because we've got, go ahead.
On Ukraine, we're at the very early stage of the process.
This is Keir Starmer.
Europe must play its role. And I'm prepared to consider committing British forces on the ground alongside others if there is a lasting peace agreement. But there must be a US backstop. Because
really?
A US security guarantee is the only way to effectively deter Russia from attacking Ukraine again.
Why is that our problem? I mean, I'm geopolitics don't have room for feelings and sensitivities right now, but why is that the United States' problem, number one? Number two, Europe needs to step up and handle some of this business. And that's, I will say, and I'm not a fan of Keir Starmer at all, and I think he's a giant inflated meat sack, this is all in response to J.D. Vance going over to Munich and telling everyone to go pound sand right to their eyeballs, just telling them, go pound sand, like, you know. And it's something that needed to be told. And you could tell these delicate flower European leaders were not used to being told off. They consider it gauche to actually, you know, we consider it, you know, we're just being efficient and we're doing you a favor, because sometimes people need to get told. And I thought that, you know, Vice President Vance did a very good job. And I thought he could have been a lot harsher, you know. Don't you agree, Kane? I actually thought that he was very gentle, but he told them, he's like, you know, the biggest threat right now, he said, you know, you focus so much on Russia and China, but look at yourselves. I mean, I'm paraphrasing here. I think his remarks are worth reading the transcript in full. But he was noting that, you know, you are losing freedoms. And as I said yesterday, European nations, it's very hard to put them on the same plane in terms of free speech as we are, because they did not have that incorporated in their structure from inception as we did. So it's very different. So they do not have, you know, a protected speech from litigation, so to speak. Now, Keir Starmer was saying, oh, we have to have this backstop. So in order for there to be any deal in Ukraine, there has to be a backstop. Nine said Chancellor Olaf Scholz, he left the summit early and he was irritated, Kane. Chancellor Scholz was irritated. So he said that, Scholz said that calls for peacekeeping troops. And you have to think, the AfD, the right-leaning party in Germany, is actually starting to make a lot of gains, especially after the disastrous leadership of Angela Merkel, who you can credit for a huge portion of illegal immigrants coming in from Northern Africa and killing themselves trying to get across the Mediterranean and then taking over entire parts of the country. So they had, so Scholz says no. He left early. It seemed like he was mad. And now the forces that are apparently supposed to be patrolling the Ukraine-Russian border with Poland, Spain, and Italy, and Germany, now they're all kind of not at odds, but they're all questioning each other. Scholz said that demands, peacekeeping troops is a weird phrase, isn't it? Let's send military for peacekeeping. Well, what does that entail? I mean, that's one way to immediately escalate tensions, I think. And Scholz said that he was irritated by the debates. In fact, that was literally his quote. He says, I am even a little irritated by these debates. Nine. I want to say that quite frankly. He said that the call for troops was very premature, etc. And he said, we don't even know what the outcome is going to be. So France hasn't committed either to that. And so they're kind of all sort of at odds with each other on this stuff. And I think and the Italian prime minister as well, Giorgia Meloni, had also questioned the peacekeeping plan. It was reported, like, wait, you're wanting to send all these troops to the border for peace. Think of it. That is an excellent way to escalate tension over a territorial dispute. And I know people get so upset when I say that, and that is not my problem. I don't give a rat's ass if people are so sensitive that they're going to bristle and raise their cackles up like some Rhodesian ridgeback simply because I say that it's a territorial dispute, which it is, and it is not in our NatSec interest. Every single person, and by every single person, I mean these dippy moderates that are out there that call themselves, you know, well, actually, Republicans, they're the ones who always say, well, this is absolutely part of our national security. And I cannot tell you the number of private conversations I've had with these people, and they could not for the life of them drill down a simple explanation in under 60 seconds of why that is so. And then what they do is they go back. You want to use accurately the phrase neocon, because it's really abused by a lot of people who don't know what the hell is going on. And by a lot of people, I mean the drive-bys out there. If you really want to use it accurately, you can use it accurately when describing their reasoning for escalating everything to World War III. They're like, oh, well, Russia doesn't, they're nervous about these countries being on their border or new countries on their border. And they said that they're going to take everything over. That's not what was said. And to disagree with their statement isn't siding with any other sort of imperialistic force. It's just simply noting that that has not been said, number one. And number two, this assertion that it is a new thing to have NATO on the border of Russia is so patently stupid. It ignores the existing NATO countries that are already on Russia's border. So I don't know. The Baltic states are a great example. So, I completely agree with the countries that are saying, yeah, that doesn't make sense. Peacekeeping troops, really. All right. Poland said it's supporting, that's what their leadership said, their Prime Minister, Donald Tusk. He had ruled out sending troops to Ukraine ahead of the summit, but he said they're going to support Ukraine as it's done so far, organizationally, you know, as much as we can financially, with humanitarian and some military aid. Britain, France, and Sweden have spoken in favor of deploying troops, but there's been no commitments. But this is a way that you will immediately escalate everything to the nth degree over a territorial dispute for the argument that, well, they're not going to stop there. They barely even have the resources to do what they're doing. Oh, but sure, they're going to sit here and they're going to tango with all these other NATO nations beyond. I don't know. Like I said, it's this is something that they need to figure out, because I don't know if you've seen or not, but it's tax season and we have a bunch of IRS employees that are behind on back taxes. Can we just like talk about this domestic issue for a moment? Because I'm going to come back to this in our third hour. Lorraine and I were talking about this on break because we had this discussion of how all of these people that are getting laid off from the IRS are suddenly so upset and they're so mad at Elon Musk for making these suggesting these cuts, and they're so mad at the administration for running on these cuts that everybody voted for, and they're playing victim. They're acting like they are themselves are the victims. Now, I don't remember any of these people shedding a single damn tear when Lois Lerner was persecuting hundreds of conservative groups and trying to prevent them from exercising their First Amendment rights by peaceful assembly, preventing them from getting their tax classifications, all of this other stuff. Now, the other very interesting thing about this, and I know Joni Ernst is one of those who did a deep dive on this, there are a ton of IRS employees that owe back taxes. And when I say owe back taxes, I mean an insane amount of bad taxes. It's pretty bad. In fact, 149,000 federal employees owe $1.5 billion in unpaid taxes. Tens of thousands are repeat cheats. Many have failed to file returns year after year, and it is a steadily increasing number. This comes from the Senate. So you tell me, how would you be treated by the IRS if you did any of this? I think everyone who works for the agency who is behind on their own taxes should be jailed. See, this is why, Kane, I don't think I should ever be in the White House, because I would sign an executive order to go and drag them out of wherever they are and immediately put them in Gitmo.
I feel like it's the spirit of our forefathers.
Yeah, I really do. I'm like channeling the rage of Washington, the forging of the American presidency, which is a great book, by the way. I really feel like I'm channeling that rage. Now, that rage. Now, I get it. The John Adams in me is like, well, Dana, shh, John, shh. We're channeling Washington right now. It's what we're doing. And of course, we have our people who help bring you the program. It's our friends over at Super Beats, the Super Barine product. It's a new product from the folks over at Super Beats, and you can now just like straight up, you know, walk into a Sam's Club and get it right there with the heart chews. The Super Barine is a plant-based supplement. It's formulated with an ingredient that helps to support your metabolism and your blood sugar levels. It's three times more effective than diet and exercise alone. Real results, super convenient. It's one easy-to-swallow capsule a day that helps you to do more to help support the metabolic health and blood sugar levels used by doctors from the makers of Super Beats Heart Chews. So head to your nearest Sam's Club, save on the Super Beats Heart Chews and the new Super Barine from Human. You'll love the way it makes you feel.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Well, this Florida woman was stood up and did not like it, and she became a Florida woman story. She broke into her friend's house and attacked him with gardening tools because he stood her up, say police. Apparently, she had previously hit him over the head with a lock. And I guess he didn't tell police until after the second time she came. Melanie Davis, 47, and her friend of 1 year, who has not been named, they were going to go get dinner Monday evening. But Polk County Sheriff's Office said he stood her up. So at 2 a.m. on Tuesday morning, Davis appeared at his home in frostproof and began yelling and screaming from outside his fence. She then insisted that he owed her money for a crossbow. And when he told her he didn't have the money, she hopped the fence, went in his house to see if he had company. He told her to leave. She refused. She was snooping around to see if anybody else was there. And then she grabbed a garden hoe and hit him on the arm, causing serious injury. She didn't stop there. She hit him with an aluminum trash can lid. I mean, she's all WWE. And then she threw all kinds of tools at him, including a small pipe wrench. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. If you remember the famous saying from Dodgeball. She then left the premises. The victim went to his neighbor's home to ask for a ride to the ER. The victim later told police that the dude was covered in blood when he showed up. He reported the incident to law enforcement after leaving the hospital. He had been romantical physically with her a couple times, he told police. But she was booked into jail on Tuesday and charged with two felony counts, aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, armed burglar with assault or battery because the garden hoe. And she also faces misdemeanor count of battery for the lock and another criminal mischief for damage to his gate. She's still in jail, apparently, being held on $16,000 bond. I mean, he could have just gone out with her to dinner and avoided all of it. Just say.
Might have been worth it to him.
Florida man crashed truck, spilled 44,000 pounds of beer on the road. Pounds?
Yeah.
Like, isn't there a different way to measure it? Like gallons? 44,000 pounds of beer on the road. 44,000 pounds of beer. Oh my gosh, the driver, minor injuries, the beer, total loss. It was all with the beer that you wash your beer glasses in, Busch Light and Budweiser. So yeah, there you go. Stick with us, third hour on the way. I've seen the amazing changes Relief Factor has made for so many people, and I've seen it firsthand through my husband Chris's pain relief from using Relief Factor. Right now, it's easy to give their product a try because Relief Factor makes it pain-free with their three-week quick start for just $19.95. Get rid of pain and start living better. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, it works by supporting your body's response to inflammation. It doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps reduce or even eliminate it. It's safe to take daily, and in fact, the longer you take Relief Factor, the more effective. Whether it's neck, back, joint, or muscle pain, Relief Factor can help. Over 1 million people have turned to Relief Factor. Give Relief Factor a try. With their pain-free trial, you can get a three-week quick start for only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Get rid of pain and start living better. Give Relief Factor a try. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or visit ReliefFactor.com. Welcome back to the program, top of this third hour, and Dana Lash here with you. And I, as soon as we get this video that I dropped in Slack, it's brand new from the White House. I don't know who is running the White House account. I don't know if you saw the official Valentine's Day card from Trump and Tom Homan. Roses are red, violets are blue. If you come here illegally, we'll deport you. Now they've done a whole ASMR illegal alien deportation flight.
ASMR?
Yeah. I don't even know what that sounds like, but we're going to play it as soon as Juan has it ready. Because it just, I mean, it's brand new. Like, it was like we were on break and they posted it. But it's the, what does ASMR stand for again? I know Steve knows this, right? This sounds like something that Steve would know. I don't know, maybe not. It's where it's all the sounds of stuff.
Autonomous sensory meridian response.
Oh, that doesn't help at all. Juan's got the video. Listen, this is just brand new from the White House. I like it. Yeah. I mean, I think it's about as ASMR-y as you can get.
Yeah, it wasn't the best radio.
The chain sound was my favorite.
It's better video than radio. But
yeah, but it's. I think it's hysterical that they literally put it up. That's what they said. Like, ASMR, colon, illegal alien deportation flight. Absolutely voted for that. Yeah, I did. Yeah, absolutely did. Just saying. So, and bringing this up, can we talk for a moment about what is happening with Claudia Sheinbaum and the president of Mexico? And I mean, this is kind of asinine. And by kind of, I mean a lot. So the president of Mexico is upset because the administration is considering classifying cartels as terror groups, right? And they had said if they declare the cartels terrorists, then we're essentially going to go after gun manufacturers. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? So this is a huge argument that they're trying to make. I know some people, I hear this a lot in commentary where folks will say, oh, well, you know, the governments of both the United States and Mexico want to make sure that they curtail the cartels. No, I don't believe you. I mean, I believe that the United States does now, at least with this new administration. But I don't believe Mexico does. And I don't believe Mexico does because it sounds like they're defending the cartels. Like, oh, if you classify them as terrorists, well, then we're going to go after you for firearms. I'm sorry, what? And their argument is that, well, that's because the cartels use guns and they get a lot of guns from North America. You mean... And they've done studies on this. Their straw purchases, which are already illegal, and they're prosecuted here. So what is your point? You're going to threaten firearm manufacturers because of cartels? That's what it reads as. So she warned, and this is from CBS, this story. Mexico's president is taking aim at U.S. gun makers if cartels are designated as terrorist groups. Claudia Sheinbaum, a very interesting name, said that for, you know, Mexico, just saying, it's very, you know. Yeah. What? No. Oh, I mean, it is. It
doesn't sound very Latin.
It's like, you know, being in Sweden and your last name is Hernandez or something. I don't know. I'm just saying. She says, quote, if they declare these criminal groups as terrorists, we'll have to expand our U.S. lawsuit. And that could include charges of complicity from gun makers with terror groups. OK, she's got this backwards. Baby girl, that was Obama, Biden and Holder and Jarrett that did that. They were the ones who did the Fast and Furious gun running operation in which they forced FFLs near the border against their will to sell to known cartel members so that they then could claim that they were going to track the firearms and see what happened to them. You know, like it's like a weird study. Like what happens if we give, you know, rats crack? This is what happens. They act cracked out. Oh, so guess what happens if you sell guns to cartels, they're going to use them. Life hack. You know, I mean, that's how it's so stupid. So they are trying to argue that these cartels use firearms and they probably get their firearms smuggled into Mexico. And so that's, we're going to have to do it. No, it was the Fast and Furious op that did all of that. And remember, after they did the Fast and Furious operation, they then tried to use that as a justification to actually restrict our Second Amendment rights here. In fact, Michael Bloomberg and all his little Bloomberg AstroTurf groups were pushing that. So she said that the U.S. Department of Justice has recognized that over 74% of weapons used by criminal groups in Mexico come from north of the border. How are they smuggling them into your country? Number one, straw purchases are illegal here. We prosecute them. Number two, if you do such a good job at handling your own borders, how in the hell are people bringing guns into your country? Anybody? Bueller? I mean, aside from Fast and Furious, you know.
I don't know.
If they were patrolling and properly doing what they should be at the border, how are people getting these in? Has anyone asked Air Scheinbaum this? Like, has anybody, like, asked her? I'm curious. So she's, they found that this, I don't know. She's, I don't know how that's going to work. That's going to be a stupid. They already filed one lawsuit, according to CBS, claiming $10 billion in damages for, they filed a suit in the U.S. against U.S. arms manufacturers, claiming $10 billion in damages for their role in criminal violence in the country. So they have the Jalisco New Generation cartel, the Sinaloa cartel, several others, like four different, actually one, two, three, about four or five different ones. And they said, we reject the slander made by the White House against the Mexican government about these alliances. Then why are you defending them? I mean, they literally paid they paid cartel members to leave weapons at different locations that included churches. Oh, we'll give you money if you give us guns. They did a gun buyback where they paid the cartels for guns. I can't even make this up. So this is what she's, they're all complicit. That whole government's complicit. There's no way that you have cartels this entrenched without the government being party to it. There's no way. What problems does she have? Here's the big question. Why is she so mad at cartels being classified as terrorists? I mean, if you were serious as the Mexican president, if you were really serious about dealing with cartels, why would you oppose them being declared as terrorist groups and scoff at the assistance that means from the United States? I mean, you know, if you were serious about fighting the cartels, you wouldn't object to them being classified as terrorists, correct? Why is she so offended over this? Oh, I know, I'm getting to that. Why is she so offended? Isn't that kind of weird? So, I mean, CBS even had to note that all of these, that these gun running networks from cartels, they even had to note that these are straw purchases and then blah, blah, blah. They already know. I mean, it's all illegal. Everything is illegal. But, you know, when we were down there, the last time we were at the border, Border Patrol told us that, yes, not only do cartels smuggle and traffic in humans and drugs, but they also do it with firearms as well. So this has been going on for quite some time. They're not, none of this is all is existing as it is lawful. So are you going to go after auto manufacturers as well for creating automobiles that then cartels use in commission of felonies or in commission of crimes? I mean, this is how stupid this is. They all wear shoes. Are you going to go after Nike for manufacturing shoes that are worn by cartels during commission of crimes? What about jeans? What about their shirts? What about their hats? This is so stupid. I mean, I'm not saying that she's getting paid by the cartels, but I am saying that if you were getting paid by the cartels, this is exactly how I would expect someone getting paid by the cartels to act if someone suggested that the cartels be classified as terrorist groups. I would suggest that they would probably react just as vociferously against that classification as Claudia Scheinbaum is reacting now. That sounds about right, Kane, right? Yeah. I mean, it just, you know, if it walks like a cartel getting paid, talks like a paid off cartel asset, and, you know, engages policy like a paid off cartel asset. I'm not saying that it's Occam's razor, but it definitely, you know, it's very interesting because it seems like it's a cartel paid asset. I'm just saying. I don't know. I mean, we don't know this for sure, but we do know for sure that all of the stuff that she's talking about is already illegal. Just like all the stuff that she allows into the U.S. border from Mexico is super illegal. Right. I mean, let's think about all of the gangs that have been allowed to traipse through Mexico, through our southern border, and they haven't done anything about it. I'm not saying that she allowed those things to happen because she's on the cartels. You know, she's taken some, you know, money from the cartels. But I'm just saying that's, you know, Kane.
How many Mexican politicians died before she was put in place?
Like there? All of them?
Yeah, like 30-something.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous to me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just saying. I mean, just, you know, going to put that. Let's put that out there. It just seems a little odd. But she seems incredibly corrupt. And there are a lot of people do not like her. Because she apparently was corrupt before she... Maybe that's why she's still there. You know? I don't know. This whole thing... that suit's not going to go anywhere. And like I said, it still is... You would open the door for... auto manufacturers and clothing manufacturers and energy drinks. Oh my gosh, did any of the cartels drink energy drinks? And those energy drinks are complicit then because the cartel members drank them probably in the commission of a felony or before and after, and it probably, you know, contributed to the energy that they had during the commission of said crime. I mean, how far do we want to take this stupidity? So that's why it's stupid when it's done here, it's stupid when it's done there, it's stupid when it's done anywhere. Yeah, if cartel uses, apparently we use drones too. So
the
yeah. So they said that the defense minister, Ricardo Trevillo, said that U.S. military aircraft may have spied on cartels during recent flights near Mexico territory. He said, we can't rule it out because we don't know what they did. Then we probably didn't, if you don't know. We're just minding our own business, surveying our beautiful land. You know, who doesn't do that? I'm just saying. So tariffs, because they're still flirting with the idea of 25% tariffs, but so far everything's been halted for the next month. So we'll see how that all goes. In the meantime, we got headlines on the way already. This show went really fast today. Our partners that help bring you the program, it's our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. Patriot Mobile has been leading the charge for many years now. It's not just providing great cell phone service. It's, you know, about defending your rights and freedoms and not empowering companies who work against you or who spend your money against your values. You're supporting what you believe in. And then you get exceptional nationwide coverage by operating on all three major networks. So you're connected wherever you go. Here in the U.S., internationally, I have never had an issue with my service. Seamless switching with a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They're going to make your switch easy. If you want to get a different number or keep your number, keep or upgrade your phone, it doesn't matter. It's so easy to switch. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month of service using promo code Dana. Switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Smod update courtesy of Vegas Larry. You're going to be excited about this one. NASA now says there's a 3.1 chance it increased. It went up from 2.6 to now 3.1 that an asteroid is going to hit Earth in 2032. It's the highest risk assessment an asteroid has ever received, surpassing the 2.7 estimate from 2004. A 3.1% chance of Earth impact, 1 in 32 odds of impact, and 96.9 chance that the asteroid will miss the Earth. But there's still a chance. Smod, 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 smod. I had to get that out of my system. All right, this, a rare single letter number plate sold for £1.5 million in a Mad Dash auction. It's Britain. So they said that it was a single number plate. I have no idea. Why is it? What is it? It's just a plate?
License plate, yeah.
It had the letter S on it, and it was one of 49 number plates up for grabs at the annual Lunar New Year that was held by their transport department, and it went for that much. I mean, my gosh, if you're going to hand over something that's a government thing, that much money for, that's stupid. You deserve to lose your money. Pope Francis is in the hospital dealing with a complex clinical condition, says the Vatican. What? Didn't he have like an upper respiratory thing or something?
Yeah, he said polymicrobial or some poly.
Yeah, like something.
It was something like he had many.
It sounded super scientific and weird.
Many problems.
And gross. And upper respiratory like. Yeah. Thieves used a U-Haul truck and a smash and grab at Sasquatch Bricks, and they stole $10,000 in Lego sets. First off, there's a store called Sasquatch Bricks. That's the first thing. The second thing is you can steal $10,000 worth of Lego. It was a lot of retired high-end collectible sets, said the owner. He says they were literally in here less than 5 minutes. He said, but they were pretty sure they'd been in the store before because the ease with which they were able to locate and take everything. And apparently, he says, this has not been an unusual thing in the Lego community. They do smash and grabs, and that's why Lego has to lock all their stuff up. So I need to start making plastic bricks, is what you're telling me. That's a cat was blown up remotely when it went to a neighbor's birdhouse. Jeez. This is horrible. Is it Britain? Of course it is. Yeah, an 11-year-old cat was left with singed whiskers, and the owner said it was Jeffrey Dahmer kind of stuff. The cat kept getting into the neighbor's birdhouse, and so the neighbor remote detonated it when the cat was inside. And there's video.
One way to do it.
Yeah, one way to do it. Stick with us. The cat's okay.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
In his first term, his incompetence cost 400,000 American lives.
Somebody teach this guy over the microphone.
And it's appropriate that the only person in history to be responsible for more American deaths than Donald Trump is his idol, Adolf Hitler.
Oh my gosh, put a hand over my mouth right now. Kane, what did I tell you, like, off mic?
I'm not saying that.
Oh, I didn't say to say it.
But you just asked what you said.
I just, that guy, somebody needs to teach him how to hold a microphone. I mean, what he does in his own private personal time is not our business, but he doesn't need to, like, replay it because he doesn't know how to hold a microphone properly on stage while he rants. What was he going on about? Oh, everybody I don't like is Hitler. That's that guy?
Yeah.
Who? What is his name? Eunuch? Mr. Kevin P. Eunuch? That's right. It's his name. We just named him. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash, with you. Here, at the bottom of this third hour. What is the, is that an actual group? The American Opposition? Is that a real group? No, it's not. With his little cap. What is that? Gonna hold the microphone like this? Stop it. Jiminy Christmas. How is Trump? So he literally said Trump was more responsible, was responsible for more American deaths than his idol Hitler. What is wrong with people? That dude's brain is cheese. You know it. What is wrong with people? Golly. I mean, I support free speech and everything. But I also think that, you know, I should be able to make fun of that guy to the nth degree because of it. Good heavens. Of course, not everybody likes free speech. Some people are sensitive male copulatory organs about it. Just saying. So, the I don't know why. What is he even talking to any of them? How boring is a leftist rally? Think about it. They all stand out there and they don't like to go out in the cold. They don't like to go out in the rain. That's why, like, none of the riots and stuff, they always wait for summer to do that because, you know, they don't want to be inconvenienced. Heaven forbid. But how boring is it? They just sit out there and everyone says the same thing. He's like Hitler. Oh, he's like Hitler. He's totally Hitler. They all say the same thing over and over again. And they've said the same thing. Just insert Republican president here. They said the same thing about Bush. I remember one time I went to, I crashed a rally, actually. So one of the things that I used to do back in the day is I would crash leftist rallies. And when they would, there literally was a whole movement called, what was it? Protest crashers. And I would, and there's probably, I'm sure, footage out there of it, but I would crash these progressive protests, Keene, in downtown St. Louis, and then I would go when I could, when I saw, like, KSDK, which is the NBC affiliate, or somebody out there interviewing the protesters or rioters, I would go in the back and I would either, oh, this is bad, maybe I don't want to tell a story, I would have a sign that had an expletive that you could not put on air. And it would be something like, you know, I can't even say it. Or I would, like, make a face or just be generally disruptive. and they could never air the footage. So that's, yeah, that was fun though. That was a lot of fun. But I went to one. This is my point of my telling the story. So I went to one of these like rallies. I crashed one of these or protests. And I don't know why for a while, you know how like everybody back in like the early aughts played hacky sack? Like for whatever reason, everybody played hacky sack. Well, at political rallies for the left, everybody had a pinata. That was like the thing, right? They had a pinata. So somebody made, and I only knew that it was a Bush pinata because someone said it was. It was, because Bush wasn't blonde, was he? He wasn't blonde headed. I mean, I only remember him gray, having gray hair, but he wasn't ever blonde headed. Okay, so it was a blonde person pinata. It was like a pinata and it was like had blonde hair. I'm not even kidding you. And a little suit. And they held it up and people would take turns hitting it, you know, in the name of democracy or something. Okay. And I sat there and watched it for like a half hour. These idiots could not bust this pinata. They could not hit it. And then you know what? When they finally did, guess what? There was no candy in it. I'm like, that's typical of a progressive, of a liberal protest. You get all these people to do the work of bashing this pinata up and there are no candy inside. Like it opened and you could feel the disappointment from these commies. They were like, oh, like they busted it. It's like a dog when a dog rips open a toy and gets all the stuffing out like Wick does with all of his stuff. And then what do you do with it after that? Right. They didn't even get it off of the stick. It was like on a stick and they hit it and like the body came open and the head, it was like a Pez dispenser and there was no candy in it. And then they're like, oh, I guess we're done now. It was so stupid and performative. Although later they did get it on the ground and started beating the crap out of it with a stick. And then somebody set it on fire with a flag. I don't know. But it was so lame. And that's the other thing. Is it really a progressive rally if you don't have some old guy up there who's trying to rip off Brian Johnson from AC/DC's look with his cap, and he's up there screaming about, meh, everything's Hitler, meh. And then they're like hitting a pinata, and then somebody's got a flag that they got to burn. That's their thing. Did you get the accelerant and the lighter? Yes, I did. Do you have the flag to burn? Yes, I have that flag. I mean, it's like they're so, it's every single time. That is a progressive protest. You know, one time they were catered. Did you know this? So I got invited to go to the Michael Bloomberg's, his totally astroturfed Mom's Demand, which sounds like a name of a film that's like NC-17 and not an actual like grassroots organization. And I went there and they had boxed, I kid you not, you guys, and this is all on video, they had boxed lunches. And I went up, I was like, sandwiches. And I was going to take one. And then one of the women was like, no, she put her hand, she put her hand on it. No, can't. Like these sandwiches are for the dumb communist women who only want criminals to have guns. You can't have these sandwiches. So I don't know, but they actually had like, they had it catered. That was as bougie AF. I've never seen that. Well, I actually have seen that before. One of the other, the last protest I crashed, they also had it catered. And by catered, I mean, they set up a table and they were literally like making sandwiches. And then they had a vegan option that was like slaw on bread. I'm not even kidding you. I just am. Oh, my gosh. Why are these people like this? Oh, it does make for fun storytelling, though.
What's
does
on
it?
What's on a commie, Sammy?
I mean, everyone's like, Jesus was a socialist. I'm like, no, he's not, because he fed people. He actually did things, you know, and fed the hungry. Oh, Larry, Vegas Larry goes, did they have boxed wine with the boxed lunches? It's funny that you asked that, because that was they all went to the bar down the road. Of course they did. I may or may not have called police in the area to say there's a bunch of drunk women who are going to be driving drunk later. I'm just saying. I didn't say I did. But literally, their sandwiches for their vegan people, or not vegan, their vegetarian, was like slaw on bread. I'm like, that's just, what? Anyway, so we got a couple of other things to touch on here. I mean, can we talk about the Tom Hanks thing really quick? I didn't watch the SNL 50 thing because, and I am not an old Marxist, so I didn't watch it. And I didn't care. Like, I saw the ads for it, and I was like, oh, I don't think we can play it, because 60 Minutes tried to cite us for playing the footage of them laughing about fascism and speech controls. They really don't want people to see it. Teehee.
We can play the audio.
We can play the audio. So this was Tom Hanks, who was apparently trying to be a MAGA voter. Is that correct?
Yeah.
This is what the left thinks that blue-collar workers are like, in case you wanted to know. Listen.
Oh, well, thank you. Hey, now, speaking of church, can I say something? If more folks went to church, we wouldn't be in this mess we're in now.
You know what? I agree with you, Doug. I'd like to shake your hand, sir. Here we go.
No, please.
Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. It's just a handshake. Yeah, it's just a handshake. Yeah, all right. You're welcome at Black Jabber anytime.
Oh, well, all right. Well, thank you, my brother. Now, maybe I'll start a show for you to come on, and we'll call it What Jeopardy?
No, we don't need it.
So this is what they think. And that wasn't even funny. I mean, I'm not offended, because the left, this is how the left views anyone who's not a Marxist. This is how they view them. You know, this is the, and then they wonder, well, why don't blue collar workers vote for us? Why don't people in flyover countries or flyover states vote for us? Because you do this to them. Because you think that this is you like try to create this completely off target caricature of them. That's why. That's so stupid and hateful. But I just didn't think it was funny. I'm not offended because it wasn't clever. I'm only offended if it's something smarter than I would say. I'm only offended if I think it's cleverer than me, because my offense is born of a jealousy. But I'm not offended by this. This is just stupid. And I thought he actually went and did this on stage. That's so lame. Bless their little hearts. That's all they have. Aw, I bet he thought that was real funny when he was like workshopping it with the writers, right? In the writing room. I bet he thought it was funny. So the left is like, look at the right. The right is so offended by Tom Hanks, and they're so sensitive. The people who got mad about Indian on butter are upset that some people on the right thought it was offensive, right? Those people. The people that got mad over pancake syrup think that some of the folks on the right are being too sensitive, that Tom Hanks literally went out and was like trying to act like a racist in order to portray like all MAGA people as racist. You know, the people who are upset over food items and packaging. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I just didn't think it was funny. And I felt bad for Kenan Thompson, because he's actually funny. And I felt like Tom Hanks was, you know, how much do you want to bet that he like pitched this idea? And, you know, poor Kenan Thompson had to like go through with one of the most unfunny segments. It's just not funny. It really just isn't funny. And I've laughed at stuff, even if if people make jokes about at everyone's expense. And this is one of the reasons why South Park is so popular, because there are no sacred cows. I think what is there a saying that they'll make hamburger out of all your sacred cows or something like that. It's like a saying that goes like that. There are no sacred cows with South Park. And that's why there's respect there, because everybody is up to get hit. And it's funny because you know that there are no limitations with where they're going to go for a joke. Whereas with SNL, they're like, ha ha, you're Hitler. And then everyone's supposed to laugh at that. Like, what the hell is wrong with the left? I mean, when did they become so unbelievably unfunny? And they don't even have the virtues of me to call them neo-Puritans. I'm going to correct myself, because I used to call them neo-Puritans. But, you know, at least neo-Puritans, you know, they had a whole like belief set. I don't even know what the left believes. They're not like us. You're Hitler. And men also have vaginas. Like, what are you even? They're a mess. They don't know who they are. They're having an existential crisis right now. And then, guys, on top of that, their slush fund's going away. Oh, I don't feel bad for them at all. I mean, you guys deserve it, because you put everybody through hell for like how many years? Just saying. So this is just, you know, a correction. It's a correction is all it is. But it's just not funny. They're not funny. I don't know. So I didn't watch it. And I don't know. I just didn't. I have one other quick thing. Do I have time? Okay. So there's a New York Post story, and it talks about plane etiquette. And this chick was apparently sitting, oh no, this guy was sitting on a flight, and he looked right where his feet go on his flight, and some woman had her, like, her feet right underneath his seat, right? Put her, she had her feet right underneath his seat. And I've seen people, I've seen videos where people, like women with long hair, flip their hair over and it hangs down in front of the monitor and it's like above your food tray and all of this stuff. Why is there such a problem with people being just like decent humans on a flight? One last quick story and then we'll get going about this. Kane's going to kill me. Do you remember the time? Kane, you know this story. I was on a flight one time. I can't remember where I was going. It was something for work. And I sat, because you know how the arm rests are open in the back where your elbow goes, right? Sitting on my flight. I was in a short sleeve shirt, but I was dressed in layers. I was in a short sleeve shirt and I felt something cold and clammy on my left elbow, right?
Oh no.
Uh-huh. I normally prefer an aisle seat because I like to control the row. But I had a window seat, unfortunately. I was slumming it in the window seat. So something cold and clammy touched my elbow. I turned around and it was this guy's bare feet. His bare feet. Dude took off his shoes and his nasty socks. He put his bare feet on my armrest. So I very politely got up from my seat and I turned around and I smiled at him and I said, sir, if you don't move your bare feet off my armrest, I'm going to punch them off your legs. And he looked at me like I was crazy and I made a fist and he moved them. Problem solved.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Tomorrow we're going to have to talk about Cynthia Erivo being cast as Jesus Christ in Jesus Christ Superstar, a black woman, as Jesus Christ Superstar for the Hollywood Bowl. So we were making a joke like Lady Snowblood starring Paris Hilton or Roots starring Chris Hemsworth. Like, there's like a million different ways you can go with that. You know, I'm just saying, I mean, if that's what we're doing, you know,
why not?
Right? Who could we have as Rurouni Kenshin if they ever redid it, which they shouldn't, because it's one of the best. I love old samurai movies. Samurai movies, westerns, horror films. Those are my jams. I mean, I don't know, like Steve Carell? I don't know, somebody.
Peter Dinklage.
Oh my gosh, I'm dying. All right, we're going to talk about that tomorrow. Today in Stupidity Game.
Oh, it is one of the harpies on The View. Actually, all the harpies, but this one's the one that's talking.
All the harpies. Sounds like a sad album.
It's Joyless Behar. Listen to what she says here. Go ahead.
Please. I put up with it.
Well, I
and by listen. The way, egg prices are supposed to come down, not airplanes.
Well, airplanes.
Trump didn't do either of them.
Yeah. Trump is not complicit in either.
Gosh, I am trying not to say something so mean to riff off of that. And it is taking everything I have to be a good person right now.
People named Joy.
I am waging a battle against the forces of evil right now, Kane, my heart.
People don't know, but I've been impressed with how you've been handling it.
Oh my gosh, because I have like three amazing responses for that, but I'm trying to be really nice and trying to be good. So, you know, it's not new year, new me. I'm just, you know, same me. Just yay. Folks, God bless. I'll be back with you tomorrow.